Welcome back to the Fantasy Flavor Podcast, where we're spicing up your daily dose of fantasy football content. Join Dylan Thomas, Sanat Ansara, and Trenton Roberts as they provide you with player and team analysis, mock drafts, and one-on-one interviews. Hey, what's going on, Fantasy Podcast YouTube channel viewers, listeners? What's up? My name is Dylan Thomas here. I'm super excited to be joined with Sanat Ansara, Ravens fan, and Trenton Roberts, Colts fan. We're going to be doing our running back rankings here, 7 through 12, part 2. These are as of April. These rankings were done April 26, 2020. If you wanted to check out our updated rankings, there's a link in the description to a spreadsheet. And if you're on YouTube, you can see them right in front of you. So how about that? Let's just start it off here. So we left off and we talked about the top five, kind of. That's kind of our first tier. And then we talked about Keyshawn Vaughn. He's kind of in his own tier, to be honest, for me. Yep. And then it's kind of this third tier, if you will, of these guys, 7 through 12. So Zach Moss, first name on here. I'll open it up to you guys. What do you think about Zach Moss?
You want to go, Trenton?
Zach Moss is the player what you see is what you get. He's got decent talent. He's got the talent to make it in the league, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to come in and be that RB1. He's going to do his best work as the second fiddle in tandem rushing attack. He could be like in a I could see him being a starter, but he won't be an effective one. He will work best in a as like the second man on the roster, and I don't know how better to describe it than that. He can be a starter, but he's not best fit for that.
Yeah, I think he's like a jack of all trades and master of one kind of a guy. Like, he can do everything well as in average. He's a good rusher. He has the size. He's a good rusher. He's a good pass catcher, also a good pass protector. So he can do everything a little bit. And I was just, a bit disappointed that he landed in Buffalo, because I also like Singletary a lot. So I think they are pretty much, I don't know how they are going to divide the work, because they both can catch, they both can run. So it's up in the air. Like, some of the places we can predict, for example, Swift will get the passing work in Detroit. We all think so. But here, I'm not able to predict what is going to happen. Maybe just 50-50 all around.
Yeah. I feel like Trenton have liked Zach Moss more than me. I'm kind of the lowest in the consensus rankings. I know there's some crazy people who still have Zach Moss's one lady as her RB3.
I know that.
What you're doing there, but I think Brandon Bean, I believe the GM, or it might have been Sean McDermott, the head coach, came out and he said he kind of wanted to use Zach Moss as kind of Frank Gore. So that role probably has some value. He'll probably get the goal line touches, but I like Singletary more as a talent, even if I think Singletary will never reach that ceiling there. So I think the Bills' offense might be overrated too. Kind of, I think they have some pieces, but. I don't like Zach Moss as a talent. He didn't really create much yardage on his own. He can catch pretty decently. He's pretty good at pass protection, but if he's not going to be used on third down, he's not going to give you that value. If they're using him like Frank Gore, he's not going to do what he might be best at. So,
yeah, that's weird, because I was pretty sure that the Frank Gore comment must be just because of the goal line touches, probably, because he's a better pass catcher than Singletary. Who knows like what's going to happen.
Yeah, very weird there. Speaking of not catching passes, I feel like we should move on to our next consensus running back, who is tied with Moss, actually, and that's AJ Dillon, drafted in the second round by the Packers, the next highest draft capital of all these guys remaining by far, honestly, looking at the list. So, I'm actually a BC fan, Boston College fan, but I don't like Dillon. But I guess looking at these rankings, Sanat are the highest on him. Second round draft capital is higher than I thought he was going to get, honestly.
Yeah.
I know, Trenton, you like his film, I believe. Can you tell me, what do you like on film?
I like his film. He's you disagree with me. You said it before, but what I see on film is a guy who can be a punishing runner, but he's also very, very agile. He knows how to follow his blocks. He's not that big guy that's just going to bruise up the middle every time and run at the back of his offensive line and try to push the pile. He's that guy that can do that, but what he likes to do is get up behind the offensive line and then find holes from there. And he gets to the next level, then he runs over any second-level defender because he's so huge. But the issue with him, with me, I would have him higher because I like him. I like his touchdown upside. I like that. But the landing spot, because he's going to a landing spot where he's clearly not the top option, and he's potentially fighting to even be the second option. And the top option is a touchdown-heavy runner and Aaron Jones. So I hate the landing spot. Love the player, hate the landing spot.
I agree. I mean, I hate the landing spot too, because I definitely believe that Aaron Jones is the most superior talent than AJ Dillon. And I just think that maybe he takes away some of the goal line touchdowns from him. And probably, I think he will be the number two. I think Jamal Williams is done, probably. Maybe just in the, you know, third down situations. And it's a full-blown committee, probably. What do you guys think about AJ Dillon? And how does it impact Aaron Jones?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see his usage, because the Packers organization, I believe it was either a staff member or one of the coaches there, said, you know, AJ Dillon was pretty good at BC. He was really good. He put up good numbers there. Didn't really create much yardage on his own, according to Graham Barfield, but... They kind of said something that was like, huh? He's 6 feet, 240, keep in mind. And they're like, we kind of like his pass catching. He was barely used in that, but he had a few crazy catches at BC, and it showed kind of like he can catch. So, and it's also interesting, I find, is do you remember when Derrick Henry blew up against the Jaguars a few years ago?
Yeah.
That was actually under Matt LaFleur. So maybe he's drafting A.J. Dillon to be Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry's more talented, but I don't think he plays with as much power. I think his vision's actually pretty good, but you know, maybe they'll try to coach him up there to be Derrick Henry. They keep in mind they got beat by a San Francisco running game, just pounded it down their throats. So I like AJ Dillon. I'm super excited to see how they use him. I like him as a player, not as much for fantasy though. And I do think Aaron Jones might be gone in a year, to answer that part of the question.
And they clearly are going towards a run-heavy approach. Clearly, they did not invest in a wide receiver, and they gave a big middle finger to Rodgers. So it definitely feels like they are going into a run-heavy approach, defense and run, run the ball.
Yeah, Dillon could be really exciting if they don't re-sign Aaron Jones.
Oh yeah, I think so. I like the player.
I think we should just move on here to somebody Trenton and I like, and I'll start it off with you, Trenton. Antonio Gibson's our consensus number 9 running back here. What do you like so much about him?
I'm actually probably going to move him up in my rankings. I don't know. It's just I love the player. He's a back, and he's going to play as a running back, but he can also play a wide receiver. He has versatility, so he's going to be a PPR monster. Thing is, he's behind Darius Geis, who they've said in Washington that they want to use more this year. So we'll have to see how that winds up. But the one thing that nobody talks about with Gibson as a running back, it's a really underrated part of him. You see all these backs coming into the league with a ton of carries, tons of touches, tons of mileage. I believe Gibson has only had like less than 100 career touches, and he's been really good on all of them. So, I mean, he has the upside as a receiver, he has upside as a PPR running back. And depending on how they put him in into your league settings, he could be listed as an RB and wide receiver. So he's that guy that you could move around in your lineup if he ever becomes successful. If you need somebody anywhere, he's that do-it-all type guy. So he definitely has added value with that, potentially.
Yeah, and I think he's interesting because if Geis does go down again, I mean, they don't really have anybody there. I mean, they have a whole bunch of guys there, but they have a whole bunch of meh players. And Gibson is anything but a meh player, and the fact that he is explosive, super explosive. I believe he had over 1,000 yards in Memphis on like around 100 touches, maybe even under, or something insane like that. overall super explosive player, measured at, I believe, 6 foot, 6 foot one, 229 pounds, ran a 4.39. Talk about explosive there. So overall, I do think his explosiveness might be a little overrated, because I don't know how, I forget how many of those yards came from like running necessarily, because Memphis, keep in mind, they have like a great offensive line. Remember Darrell Henderson? He was breaking off long runs too. So I feel like that's something that's not talked about with him, but he is super explosive. And he has been compared to his ceiling being David Johnson. Ron Rivera came out and said he sees him as Christian McCaffrey. So he can't get much higher praise than that.
That's correct. But the thing is, offensive line, I think the Memphis backs really need holes to explode from them. And that's what happened to Darrell Henderson last year. Like, the O-line was bad, and that's why he could not succeed. Mm-hmm. Because they cannot create on their own. And I doubt what happens to Redskins' offensive line. Like, Trent Williams is gone, and they had a bad O-line as is. So, if the O-line is bad, it could be a, you know, bad scenario for him.
Yeah, surprised they never invested in the O-line, honestly. Surprised he took another running back. Even if Geis can't stay healthy, Adrian Peterson is doing fine. Let's just move on here to our number 10 consensus-ranked running back here, and Anthony McFarland of the Steelers. Either went in the 4th or 5th round, day 3 pick, I believe. I mean, Trent didn't even have him. Oh, Trent had him the highest, actually. Really, really high. I believe his consensus RB7. What's there to like about McFarland?
He's my breakout guy this year. He's that running back. Every year you see a running back drafted later, like mid rounds, that blows up. He's the guy that, I mean, sure, he's going to the Steelers offense, so there's clearly James Conner in front of him. But that's as of right now. James Conner struggles a lot. So I feel like he definitely has a path to a role if Conner either goes down, which he has been injured a decent bit, and or if James Conner struggles. And I just like McFarland. He's an all-around guy. He's a good pass catcher. He's good at everything. He's that guy that's really he's a really smart runner. He's got decent speed, and so he can definitely break the long one, but he's a really, really smart runner. So I think that he definitely has that potential to break out.
Yeah, definitely a big potential to break out there. I mean, Steelers, Connor's gone in a year. Jalen Samuels has been kind of disappointing. He was Graham Barfield's number one in this class, created the most yards per carry. So highest yards created per carry per attempt there. So I think McFarland's interesting. It's not the best draft capital, and that's why I'm not confident about any of these guys after Gibson, to be honest. I don't draft like these running backs late, honestly. You just kind of don't interest me. But James Conner is injury prone, so maybe he'll give you kind of some upside there. We saw, I think Benny Snell came in and played some games, and he did, nothing spectacular. But
and their O-line is also not bad. I think, they did, the whole backfield is shaky, and he can carve out a role, easily. So that's why he has upside, even though he's a fourth rounder.
Yeah, the Steelers line kind of like fell off last year, though.
Because of the quarterback play, probably. Quarterback play really helps.
Might have a part of it to do with it, but I remember they were like tied with the Jets for the worst in the league yards before contact. So that could be kind of alarming. Hopefully Big Ben helps them out there. That'll be something to watch. Yeah. I know their O-line's a little older too, so.
Yeah.
Honestly, our last two guys here are tied, but let's start off here with Joshua Kelly, went to the Chargers. Another day 3 pick there. Trenton doesn't have this guy ranked. So we'll kind of get to you in here in a second. But Sinan, what do you kind of like about Joshua Kelly?
I mean, he has got the size, and there is no competition there. Like, apart from Eckler, who else is going to, compete with him? I think he has got the, say 70% or 60% of what, who was the running back who left? Melvin Gordon. Yeah, he has got like 60% of the job of Gordon. Maybe not the pass catching, but apart from that, the running, the football, the goal line carries. I think he should get it because he's the thumper there. And that's why I like him. I mean, I can see the path to touches, straight in the first year. And not many running backs have that later.
Yeah, Trent, why don't you have him ranked inside your top 12?
Because I think the Chargers, they've talked a lot about getting Eckler even more involved, running even more this season. So he's going to take a lot of those touches. But the thing is, I don't like Joshua Kelly as a prospect. I like Josh Kelly. The only thing I like about him is that he's a tough runner. The issue is, he is just that. He's that guy that he will break a few tackles here and there, but he's not going to make a lot of people miss. He doesn't have that wiggle. He's the guy that runs, and as soon as he's touched, he's pretty much down. Unless he breaks it, then he's down. So he's not going to get a lot of chunky yardage. He's not that guy that's going to be potentially breaking long runs. He's going to get you a little bit of yards every time. And sure, he has a path to some carries right away, but I don't think those carries will amount to much just because he isn't that elusive of a runner. He's just more of a guy that you can push it up the middle for 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough for me because I get what you're saying, but that's kind of like all he needs to be. He's a compliment to Eckler, and Eckler's a small guy. If Eckler goes down, he might be their 3-down workhorse. I feel like you're kind of like, oh my God, he needs to kind of be this RB1. But he's our consensus RB11, you know? These are just handcuffs at this point. You're spending like a third or like a fourth on these guys. So, and we already know Austin Eckler is going to be kind of probably in a committee. He's not a guy who can handle the workload. So you have to be kind of be high on Kelly just because of the opportunity that he's going to give you as a third or fourth round running back.
Exactly. Kelly is my 13, if that changes anything. He's my 13. Yeah. So he's not much lower than you guys have him. But
that's fair.
Exactly. So at this point, we're just looking at, you know, possibly some touches in the first year and probably a big role if someone goes down.
Yeah.
So I think he fits that perfectly.
Definitely. And I believe our other guy here tied for 11th here is Darrington Evans drafted. Actually, I believe he was drafted in the third round there. I kind of misspoke. I kind of forgot he was drafted in the third round, I believe, right? By Tennessee?
Second. Isn't it second?
No, it's third round, I believe.
It was late third. Late
third.
The 29th pick in the third round.
Yeah, Darrington Evans. Okay. I mean, he probably just will be what Deion Lewis was. And I think he's kind of interesting, and I had him above Joshua Kelly because it's the fact that Derrick Henry is gone in a year potentially, you know? So he could actually technically be that 3-down workhorse. At least there's a possibility. Meanwhile, Eckler was recently extended to a contract. So
no, I agree with you, and I think I should also switch them. I feel that, you know, I just thought that he's not going to get anything this year. You know, remember Deion Lewis did not get anything last year.
That's
possibly they are just going to run Henry to the ground, and maybe Evans will be much cheaper. You know, middle of the season or something.
That's true. I think the problem with that philosophy is, you may be like, oh, they're cheaper because their production was low, but everyone's going to be holding on to the hype of, oh my God, Henry's gone. So I don't think he might even rise in value with no production. Just because each day that passes, he might be the workhorse there in Tennessee.
And the other thing is, I believe that they are going to extend Henry. That is just what I believe in. That's why I don't think he's going to be that dumb.
He's had so much workload in high school and college. He's already like 27. Oh my God. I swear. Tennessee, I like you. I love AJ Brown. Tannehill, you know, Mike Vrabel's awesome. Please don't resign Derrick Henry to a long term.
I always like running backs I always want running backs to be signed because poor guys don't make any money.
Yeah.
And let them make some money, man. When they are 27, you know, the peak of their thing, they are already older for a running back. Yeah.
I agree that he's going to go into a Deion Lewis role, but the thing is, like Sanat said, Deion Lewis didn't do much last season anyway, and Darrington Evans, I totally disagree with you. He does not have the potential to be a 3-down workhorse. He's not going to be a workhorse. He is going to be that pass-catching back throughout his entire career. He won't be a workhorse. He'll be a backup option to a better option.
If she did the good job handling the load, though.
He will be a good pass catcher. Mm-hmm. He will be a good pass catcher, but he's not going to be a workhorse at all.
He did a good job handling the load, though, at Appalachian State, I believe. So why can't he at the NFL if he can do it at, you know what I mean? He's not like some small dude, like 190. My man's built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
His ticker.
Yeah, he's got decent size, but he doesn't have what you want from a workhorse. He doesn't have that grinded out mentality. He's that guy that is just going in, trying to make people miss, run around people. He's got decent speed, but decent to good speed. I'll even give him good speed. But he's going to be that pass catcher. He's not going to be elite back. He's not going to be that guy that you handed it off to 20 times a game. He's not going to do that.
So he's more of a boom bust. Like, if he pans out, if he gets a 3-down roll, then he's great. Otherwise, if Henry is extended, he will be zero. He will have zero value going forward.
He's 205. He plays bigger. He handled, like, 250-plus touches his last year in college. So, like, I get what you're saying. Maybe you don't believe in talent. Even if he's in a committee, he has the highest draft capital available. He's by far the safest player. And Derrick Henry could be gone in a year. So, you know, I can't believe you don't have him ranked. That kind of shocked me a little bit. With, you know, you have your
He's just not going to be an RB1 in his career.
Okay. How many of these guys are going to be an RB1 in their career, though?
I mean, as in like a team's RB1.
Are any of these guys...
He's going to be a team's backup running back.
DJ Dallas or... Miracle Perrine, or however you pronounce it, are they going to be their team's RB1?
Yeah, they have the potential to be lead backs. They have the talent, in my opinion.
Okay.
Sure. At this point, we are just, you know, guessing. No one can say who is right or who is wrong. We just have to wait and watch.
I think Evans is the best shot, though, personally.
That's the point of it.
So, you know, that's just kind of how I feel. But thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. I'm sure we'll break down these running backs and even more of them that we didn't get to talk about. You know, as with the player profile, it's probably, if you guys want, throughout kind of the offseason. We don't have much to do. So thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to leave a like, subscribe, do all that wonderful stuff. Please, it'll help us out. It'll make us want to make more content. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Feel free to leave feedback, subscribe, or check out our previous content. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.